Robinson, Head of Exhibitions. This is Helen Jones, Exhibitions Curator here. Together we're the co-curators of the Party Exhibition, which if you've been travelling around the gallery, you'll realise extends quite a bit further than just these beautiful third floor spaces. We'll go up on the fourth floor to David Batchelor's piece. We've also got Martin Creed's Half the Air in a Given Space, which is on the first floor.
Which is the room filled with balloons that you might have seen already.
We've got Bob and Roberta Smith, who's done a window box installation for us, which is a project space on the front of the gallery. And we've also got Lucien Cole's foyer decorations. And Rose Binkelsey's down there as well, isn't she? And Darren Legger's on the fourth floor. People are dotted around all over. And there are some related activities as well, such as an exhibition of birthday cards given to us by artists who have worked with us over the years that's in the Garman Ryan galleries. And there's also Mitra Mamatsia, who's our current artist in residence, who has an unwanted gift exchange on the first floor. So she's in on Fridays and Saturdays, so if any of you've got really horrible Christmas presents that you really don't know what to do, bring them along to Mitra and she'll change them into art for you or do something very interesting with them. Right, so we'll start with this exhibition then. As you, some of you may know, it's our 10th birthday in February this year, so we're very keen to celebrate that. And so we were thinking, well, what can we do? What can we do exhibitions-wise? We want to do something quite special. And Helen, lying awake in bed, thinking about ideas for exhibitions, as often the case, thought about doing an exhibition that was inspired by the party. You know, and actually, in some ways, it's such an obvious idea, but then we don't think it's ever been done before either, and people were saying that to us at the opening as well. So we immediately got excited and started by trying to generate a long list of artists. So we're just drawing on our own knowledge and experience to start off with, of artists whose work that we knew, who we thought might be interesting to explore in relation to this show. And the list kind of grew and grew, really, didn't it? So, and we got to a point where we had to start thinking, well, you know, what we don't want to do is end up this being a bit of a jumble sale of lots of different kinds of art, that when we've got it in the space, it looks a real mess. So throughout the period of development, we started to kind of think about themes within themes, things like food and drink, dress and decoration, drinking, of course, things like that, and started to think about grouping works together that we'd thought about. And we can talk more about the kind of practical side, about how we go about negotiating loans and securing them and things like that. We've worked with a whole range. We work sometimes directly with artists, but some works we borrow from collections like the Tate, the Government Art Collection, Arts Council Collection, and so on. And also commercial galleries we work with as well. So,
and often those loans require requests to be submitted quite far in advance. So we actually started developing this exhibition a year ago. So at that point, we kind of sketched out this long list, and it was our dream exhibition.
We didn't
have any kind of barriers, no kind of limits or budgets or anything like that. Put this list together.
Some budget.
Well, actually, just to kind of get us kind of excited about the zoo and everything.
We didn't give ourselves any to start off with.
And then we began to kind of discover where certain works were housed, whether they were owned or collected by private collectors or national collections. And also for some of the works as well, we had a direct relationship with the artist and the galleries that represent them as well. So it was almost kind of, you know, doing a little bit of a puzzle, because once you know that you can get certain things, you know that you can develop a certain theme around that bit, or you know there's other works you need to kind of back that theme up.
Yeah, and I think one thing that, so we didn't give ourselves rules, but we had a number of things that we were interested in, and that we wanted to make sure that we showed a wide range of media across the show, kind of painting, sculpture, photography, video, installation, etc. We wanted to do that. Also, we wanted to ensure that we had a mix of artists from around the world, but also that we didn't forget artists who were on our own doorstep as well, so that we were looking at a kind of diversity within that as well. And so what you have in the exhibition is that in Gallery 4, which we'll go through, we've got Walsall artist Andrew Tift showing as part of the exhibition. And by saying he's a local artist, he's not, you know, not putting any kind of tag on him. Andrew is actually a very successful national artist as well. He's won awards at the National Portrait Gallery and so on, so he's a very respected artist, but he happens to be in Walsall. We've got another couple of artists who don't live in Walsall now, but were born and grew up in Walsall. Darren Lego, whose stalactite stiletto is on the fourth floor, and also Sean Dower, who has made these three pieces, Death Star, which is one of our current favourites.
Yeah, the glitter ball.
And the video at the back. So he's from Walsall originally. There are Birmingham artists like Vanley Burke here and Juno Projects. So, and then we've also got artists from Judy Dara here is from Canada. Malik Sidibe in Gallery 4 is from Mali in Africa. We've got artists from America like Nan Golden and... we have Zhang Peng and Yang Mian from China, so we have
a
mix.
And we also want to contemporary. Include a mixture of historic, modern and contemporary works as well to reflect how artists have embraced the theme throughout history, but also to reflect the work that the gallery displays as well, especially because it was our 10th birthday. And so we made kind of very careful selections for the historic and contemporary works, just so they really kind of reflect or create an interesting dialogue with the contemporary works, which was quite a kind of a risk, really, in a way. Whether we weren't sure whether it was going to kind of seem a little bit odd at first and seem kind of quite as if it was quite a shift. But it seems to have kind of come together quite seamlessly.
I think this is a good example, isn't it?
Yeah. Here. We'll talk about the process through the artworks, because that's our more interesting way to do it. These three works, for example, were works that we kind of... When Helen and I are doing this, we have photocopies of all kinds of things, and we end up having meetings where we just lay images all over the table and start to kind of mix things together and look at how certain works, you know, respond to each other and create a dialogue with each other. And this is a quite early one that emerged, wasn't it? These three works that we felt that we really wanted to put together, because you've got Spencer Tunick's Obama Party, which you've obviously got a load of naked people kind of having a brilliant time and on the campaign trail, but all jubilant with their success. And it's a real kind of hedonistic kind of happy picture. This is quite kind of a little bit more unusual for Spencer Tunick. What he's renowned for is, I don't know if you've seen his works, but he often works in specific locations, and he brings together kind of just normal people from volunteers who will come in, and basically they're almost used naked as if they're a brushstroke within a picture. So you can imagine if you had like Park Street in Walsall with a load of naked bodies all gathered together all down the road and then photographed them. It would look really amazing, and that's the kind of thing. I don't know how we could do that in Walsall. I don't know whether we'd get away with it. But no, it's probably not this weather, definitely not.
He did a big project in Gateshead
along
the quayside.
Yeah, he's really interesting artist. But
this one's less formal, isn't it?
It's quite
different.
And we kind of like the references to Obama, of course, as being very topical as well for the moment. We like that within the show. And then Seamus Nicholson's work, who's borrowed from the Arts Council collection. He kind of is very characteristic of his work. A lot of kind of late night clubbing scenes and things like that, but also very unglamorous kind of youth culture scenes of late night kind of shops and petrol stations and that kind of, but lit in that really horrible garish way that you find them. But we love the fact that this is kind of hardly there at all when you stand back further back in the gallery, that it's just a black picture from further down there. You don't really see anything, and you can only, the figures start to emerge as you come closer to it. But it's that real kind of very late night after an all-night party, the kind of vestige, those people are still hardcore and still going strong, but all looking kind of a bit not quite at their best anymore. But then we love the kind of juxtaposition of those with this painted by Frederick William Elwell, which we borrowed from the Royal Academy. And we just love this kind of very old-fashioned scene of lots of white men sat around a table looking very kind of dour and pompous. But actually, it's a really great painting as well. It's a fantastic painting. We had Korea from the... That quite often happens with collections. In fact, we had very few this time, but... sometimes when you get lent a work like this from an important collection, they'll send a courier with it, and the courier supervises the unpacking of the work and the installation of the work, just to make sure everything's okay, and obviously they can see the context in which it's shown and make sure things are secure and so on. And he came over and he actually said that there's lots of beautifully painted silverware on the table, and he was saying that at one stage when members were elected into the Royal Academy, they had to give a gift of a piece of silverware to the Academy itself, so that's why it's there. And it's thought that this guy here is Frederick William Elwell himself. Here he is with kind of palette and brush painting the group. But we really like that kind of formal, rigid, stiff upper lip kind of celebration.
In contrast. And I think for the courier who came for the Royal Academy, like, you know, for him it was really fantastic seeing this work in this type of exhibition, because never before had it been displayed.
Yeah.
I think kind of next to a contemporary work, but a work of this nature as well.
He did a little phone picture himself.
He was like, oh, I'm going to photograph it. So. But the kind of contrast in gender kind of works very well with the Martin Parr photographs just on the opposite wall, particularly of the hen party here and a Tupperware party from the 1980s. And what we wanted to do with the theme of why we kind of also wanted to use the theme of party is the fact that it does resonate with all of our lives, from having a childhood party to a hen party, a wedding, to just simply kind of going out. It kind of connects with us all in lots of different ways. And Martin Parr is a British photographer who has photographed all sorts of occasions throughout the UK for the last 30 years, would you say, that he's been doing it, from very kind of everyday kind of situations and events that we all participate in, and kind of collectively they give a kind of quite an interesting snapshot at the UK at those times, our kind of different tastes and interests and rituals and everything. And I imagine quite a lot of these people would have kind of visit their local pub, a little bit like the Yard Ape here. And what we like about this piece is the kind of social aspect that it kind of brings out, the fact that, you know, you would go down the local pub, put yourself up at the bar, whether you're kind of celebrating kind of good times or bad, thinking about, only one stool. And but that fact also in kind of soaps and things like that, that the pub is the kind of epicentre of a community in some ways. And the bar has been created by three artists, Sarah Lucas, Colin Lowe and Moddy Thompson. And it was first shown in 2003 at the Milton Keynes Gallery in Milton Keynes, and it was shown in an exhibition in Norwich, and it's been in storage ever since.
Oh, has it?
And the National Galleries of Scotland have purchased it for their collection, so it's going to travel up to Edinburgh after being shown with us. We had little instructions, and it arrived.
No instructions.
We had a few pictures. Some photographs, and it arrived in 45 separate pieces. So we built it together. It actually, it was a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, but we actually managed to do it in one day.
If anyone thinks our jobs are glamorous, you should have seen us hoovering out the dead woodlice and the dust and dirt, because it was all, you know, it was all in a bit of a state.
So clean the lavatory
as well. Yeah, we cleaned pretty much everything, and. Yes, it was quite dirty and dusty, and but it was worth it, I think. We think it's such a great piece in the end.
And all of the kind of the knick-knacks that are behind the bar, the kind of ornaments and everything came with it. They're all kind of...
So what sort of era is that, do you think? What era is that depicting?
Well, it's any time, really, isn't it? Because the traditional pubs that you have now, I mean, there's still pubs that look like...
There are,
I know there are more corporate 60s, ones
70s,
nowadays.
60s, 70s, I mean, that brewed red barrel for a long time.
So I think it's...
I say they haven't brewed his red barrel for a long time, have they?
What's with the bar towels on the toilet there?
Well, we think that's Sarah Lucas's contribution to this particular.
Have you seen all the way around it?
No,
I haven't. Because there's a ladies' two loo here.
Oh.
the toilet.
Because
there's a toilet in the Marcel Duchamp's urinal, which was one of the important piece of work because it was the first kind of ready-made in the early years of the century. It will reference that, but also toilet humour, as you said, all kind of toilet humour. And it's got a kind of pin-up around there as well with the urinal. So it's also quite a bit base and a bit kind of humour. But Sarah's done quite a few works with toilets, and she enjoys the reference to toilets. But as I say, there's kind of, the humorous, but also that kind of artistic tradition as well, which goes back to Duchamp. So.
Yeah, around the corner there's a cigarette machine.
Yeah. I'm crying.
No cigarettes in it. Oh, what cigarette?
And it's also on wheels as well, so this idea that you can take this kind of home from home, anywhere with you. And then the...
do you know what the cigarettes were?
It came... I don't know.
We don't smoke them, so we don't know stuff like that. We just took them out because we thought there might be a bit too
tempting for little people to try to steal. But yes, she's lovely, isn't she? So, and it also came with numerous other bits and pieces, didn't it? Which we've now been told we can actually ditch some of those.
But ditch them.
It was quite interesting this, because it was one of those things that the artists had made, and then they were like, oh well, we can just kind of throw it away afterwards. Yeah. But Linda Morris, who was the curator up in Norwich at the time, just thought it was too important to work just to destroy. So, you know, it's credit to her really that it still exists, and you know, now, as you say, it's going to the National Galleries in Scotland after it's been here. So.
And the name Yardake refers to an unruly neighbourhood. That's the definition of it in the Urban Dictionary.
Yardake.
Yeah, the Yardake.
Yardake.
It's called the Yardake, and then there's a yard of ale as well, underneath.
So shall we go further down the gallery? Wait, we'd love to look at every single work, but I don't think we'll be here forever. Oh, that's right. This is one commission that we made for the exhibition, which is by the artist David Strickley, who some of you may have heard of. He's quite well known, and he works in a whole range of different ways, through collaborating with musicians. He has a Guardian column, he has kind of... also a whole range of merchandise, some of which is in the shop downstairs.
He's also a DJ as well.
Yeah, he's actually doing a talk here on February 26th on Friday, which is going to be at the college actually, but we're organising it just because there's more space there. And we'll be, so we just gave him quite a loose commission just to create some drawings that just linked with our theme of the party. So this is what he came up with. And they're quite, it was interesting because they're actually quite, I mean, this is my personal to help us forget about the crisis, which I just think is really funny. But then you've got ones like this as well, which that's what exactly what a birthday is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
the day that we all popped out. And you know, we love his style. So one of these works, we don't know which will definitely come into our collection now, but you know, there's possibility that we might purchase more of them as well. But yes, he's great, so it's brilliant to have that. I mean, that was the only commission, but I would say that there are works in here which are unique to Warsaw as well, and will never look the same way again. This piece is by Judy Dara, and she's an artist from New Zealand. And, you know, normally we wouldn't really be able to involve artists in New Zealand just because we can't afford the transport to bring over their work and also fly over artists. But we found this work on the internet somewhere, and when we first found it, it was just kind of the picture that we had was a close-up of a wall with some of the corks stuck into the wall. You can see that they're corks out of bottles. But they look sort of quite evenly placed in it. So we sort of found the artist and found one of her galleries and started a dialogue with them. And as part of that process, they then sent us further images of the work, which wasn't quite as we expected it. Because first of all, the image that we saw of it, it looked kind of more as if the corks, you know, they were just evenly distributed throughout the wall. But the other picture that we got was like a big kind of sway, wasn't it? It had a lot of movement and rhythm and gesture within it. And at that point we thought, well, actually, you know, we need to designate a wall to this wall. And we thought, well, it would be quite interesting to have a wall with a window, so that the window becomes part of the piece as well. And we sent her pictures. We sent her plans of the gallery and photographs so she could see it as well. And she actually thought, well, she'd not done anything like that before, done it with windows. So she really liked the idea of creating it around there. But so what we actually did in terms of this was this: there's 1,400 corks here, and it's actually they're both called skins, but there's one work from a gallery in Auckland and one work from a gallery in Christchurch. There were 400 in one piece, 1,000 in another piece, and so we had them sent over by FedEx with the corks, and then we then engaged in an email dialogue with the artist. And while we were producing this, we'd keep taking pictures. At the end of the day, we'd take a picture and send it to her, and then with the time difference, by the time we got here in the morning,
she'd have responded.
And said, so we could just say, oh yeah, put a few more in kind of around the window and make it a little denser there. So, yeah. Which is, you know, because my career goes back some time to the age before computers, and I think, you know, there are certain things that are possible now that wouldn't have been possible then, because, you know, for someone who's on the other side of the world in New Zealand, we're able to just keep a dialogue going about how to create the work and how to develop the work.
And what's also incredible is that the corks all feature 2000 on them.
We didn't know when we first agreed
to show the piece, and we were looking at them when they came, so it's just incredible that they've got our opening year on them.
Yes, it was very fortuitous,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they're just pins,
though.
They're very simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So following kind of our guidance and Julie's instructions, we've bought some special kind of fine drill bits. Just so he could make very, very tiny holes into the walls that we could then put the... each of the kind of the bits into.
Yeah. So you drilled the hole, somebody else put the bits in.
Our technician drilled them and put them in as well.
And this is, as we go past, and you just notice this really beautiful keyboard by David Ursa, which is just very fragile. It's all carved in balsa wood, even the kind of cable.
Cracky.
And the little plug socket that he's made and everything as well. And he's got another piece through here, which is... this is also his piece, Let's Get It On, which looks like it's a neon piece, but actually, again, it's carved in balsa wood. And he's even got the little kind of mains pack on the floor there as well. In a kind of... sad kind of, because obviously it'll never get plugged in and never work. Again, Zhang Peng here, and we were talking a little bit when you came in, weren't we, about this particular, they love it, which is great. And so we had one or two complaints when we sent it out on the preview card, but on the whole I think people really love it. And it's a very interesting image. As I said, we chose it for the preview card because we thought it was one that wouldn't just get kind of pass by. If someone opened that in the post, you to make you look, and it would make you kind of think about it and just notice it.
Too many little girls going around slaughtering goldfish.
Was that any complaint?
We had about five, but it was more from sending it out as a preview card, not as it being part of the exhibition.
You expect to see something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, it's
different.
It's a challenging image, and for me, it's kind of it says a lot about kind of ideals of childhood and what we expect childhood to be, and also ideals about beauty, because the child there is kind of sat at the table, and obviously she's not really the kind of image of wide-eyed innocence that one would see, for example, in the picture we've contrasted it with, which is the Victorian painting of Baby's First Birthday, when you've got a very kind of idealised, you know, they're all in their cosy lounge and they're all the family celebrating together Baby's first birthday, and it's all lovely and nostalgic and cosy. Yeah. And then we have this little madam next door, not looking quite so innocent.
Yes, that's good footage.
And and it is kind of digitised, but also it said that within his work as well, you can see her eyes are quite wide-eyed, and also they're quite red as well. And in China, in a lot of the kind of youth magazines, they're kind of promoting an image of beauty which is a westernised ideal of beauty, which is of course going to be completely unattainable
for a lot of Eastern girls, and some women are even resorting to plastic surgery to alter their eyes and open up their eyes.
Dear.
And so there are references within it there. So there is a kind of, you know, there is implicit violence within the image, but it's kind of much more layered and complex, I think, than just a sort of a kid putting fish on the cake. But I was saying as well that when we were installing this piece, one of the technicians we were working with at the time was saying that when he was at nursery school, him and his twin brother put worms through a mangle. And then, but it is the kind of horrible thing that little kids do, you know, because they haven't quite kind of learnt yet the sort of moral codes and things. So. So yeah, I think it is a kind of, it's a very sort of captivating image.
Yeah, and we also wanted to reflect.
You'll remember that, won't we?
Yeah. That the exhibition isn't all kind of sweetness and light. It also reveals a kind of darker and serious exit of partying as well.
Which was always a real concern, wasn't it? We always wanted this darker edge, and to us this kind of symbolised it. You know, it was a very iconic image that you associate with birthdays, of a child cutting a cake. But a bit more to it than that.
And the cake theme continues within this gallery as well, with three paintings by an American painter called Kent Christiansen, who came all the way from New York to see us on Thursday evening for the opening. And Kent grew up as a Mormon, and he describes sugar for him as a drug, as an indulgence. So that's why we have these very kind of detailed paintings from him of the birthday cakes, the macaroons, and the red jelly on the painting
there.
Nice.
And
also the other kind of theme within this room is a performance and entertainment that we might have as within a party as well. And this painting in the magnificent frame is by an artist called John Collier, and it's actually a work from our collection. And we actually had it conserved specially for this exhibition. It's been down in our store for some time. And when we saw this work and these three photographs by an artist called Jonathan Allen, that we just thought it was a fantastic kind of pairing, kind of between the two. Well, I think also, I think it's that kind of element of magic. I think there's the kind of lighting there.
Theatricality.
And there's that kind of uncertainty maybe of her, you know, of the kind of dance that she's doing, the kind of blindfold that she's wearing, you know, kind of quite similar to the composition of this photograph here in the middle. But this artist is also a magician as well, and he's a member of the Magic Circle too. He's actually curated an exhibition all about magic, which has just opened in Blackpool as well. And this photograph here by Sam Taylor Wood, where the illusion is that the balloons are kind of holding her weight up and off the floor. And the kind of vulnerability, I think, in her, her pose and with her being in her underwear as well. And we were able to borrow this wonderful painting by Mark Chagall from the Tate. And this painting was actually first shown, well, it was actually
not
shown,
show.
I kept my words in the right order, was shown here in the gallery's first exhibition, Blue. And so we wanted to kind of make that link back to that painting. And also, again, the kind of compositions also, you know, did mirror each other as well.
Nice, lovely colours. They're beautiful, isn't it? Lovely. Should we go through? This room is about music and dance, mainly. Key elements to any party, I think. And you might recognise this chap here as Michael Jackson. The piece is called Dangerous, and it's by a Chinese artist called Yang Mian. And, you know, very interesting that this is actually a bronze sculpture and then painted. So he's quite heavy. So he came
very
in a big
well
big crate.
Yeah, all the way from Miami.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, he came from Miami too, wasn't
it? Feet having to get them back in one piece.
Well, we leave that with the art. We use specialist art transporters, you know, on the whole, they're very good, aren't they? But we obviously have to make sure that everything's packed very carefully and appropriately. Yeah. And because at the airports they do tend to get thrown about a bit, don't they? Yeah.
When was that sculpt?
Just have a look at the date. 2007.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also made sculptures of Elvis Presley and a couple off Roman Holiday. So he's very much kind of keen into an American kind of popular culture that at one stage would have been completely inaccessible to the Chinese population. So it's kind of quite a new thing that, you know, the Chinese artists are able to engage with this kind of thing. So, and you've seen his real iconic stance is in that kind of dance pose where he stands on his toes. Yes. So I won't try and do it. And we were saying about the Chagall as having been here before as well, and this painting by Paul Arago has also been here before. It was here. This also lent from the Tate, and it came here for a show we did called Coming of Age a few years back, which was part of a Tate partnership that we had. And again, being the 10th birthday, the ideas of kind of revisiting artists or exhibitions or moments in our past as well. And that's also the case on the fourth floor with Darren Lago's Stalactite Stiletto. He was an artist who we did a big solo project with a few years ago. These two little works with Paul Arago here, we quite like all these kind of dance elements. These two are actually from the Garman Ryan collection downstairs, the Goya and the Renoir. And so we enjoyed the opportunity to show them in a completely different kind of context and make different conversations between those artworks than our regular visitors would normally see them in. And the piece here you can see by Jim Lambie, there's a great glittery turntable all going round. But it's a bit sad because there's no sound, there's no soundtrack coming from the record. But to me, it kind of seems like it makes me remember when I was listening to records in your room and things like that and getting really involved. And the pieces that are with them, you really have to look very closely at these by Graham Dalton. I really say a lot about that kind of obsessive fandom of music and things. You can look closely at them and see what he's done. He's kind of written all the lyrics to the songs.
Oh,
really, really tiny. Oh. They're all in there. And the same with the Beatles' White Album here. Heaven. You can see it all kind of engraved into the surface. And this is also Sonic Youth poster, in which he's also... Is it the lyrics?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, you really have to look at them.
But it's that idea that you'd be in your kind of bedroom listening to the records, learning dance moves, learning all the words, but also kind of inscribing them.
I used to listen to the charts and write it down. You know, as it was happening, I used to write down in lists kind of, you know, what was happening in the charts. And this is also from our own collection. These are Birmingham-based artist Juno projects. They did residency here, didn't they, some time back, in which they worked with local people and created their own music label, didn't they, to then release an album, which had all kind of local people on it, including our gallery assistant, Laura. Yeah.
And they also made their own instruments as well, so these two guitars on here actually do work, and they've got kind of sensors in them, so as you kind of strum a kind of tin bit, that then kind of picks up with a microphone so you can create a rhythm to it. So they are kind of, you know, technically they could be functional musical instruments as well.
Okay. So these were part of a window box display they did for us, and then we purchased the pieces for the collection afterwards. Again, we'll probably not talk about every single one. We quite like our little balloon theme going on in this corner here with the Angela Bullock piece, the Peter Perry painting. And this is a Peter Blake painting, but you probably recognise the figure of David Hockney. And it's basically a portrait of Hockney in the Spanish Hollywood interior with all these balloons over his head. But the guy who's leaning in the background is actually, it's a painting behind. It's a photograph, I think, actually, isn't it? A large photograph. So it's not an actual person behind him, it's a photograph. So it's, again, a reference. And, of course, Blake and Hockney are both regarded as two of the most major British pop artists. And Gillian Wherry, I have actually showed this piece before, but in the old art gallery it was that long ago. But Gillian was born in Birmingham originally as well, but she's a very kind of world-famous artist. now. And this is a great piece she did that was quite some years back called Dancing in Peckham. And she's basically just kind of dancing around on her own in a shopping centre. There's no music or anything like that. She's just going, and you can see the kind of shoppers, some are completely ignoring her, others are kind of going past and giving funny looks. And, you know, you talking, when we were in the exhibition guide, you mentioned all the kinds of, you know, the people have these...
The iPod generation kind of... mob kind of discos where everyone would congregate in the same place, plug their iPod in and dance, so there would be this silent disco. And I suppose in some ways the advert for the mobile phone that they did at Liverpool Street quite recently where suddenly they played music and everyone broke into dance together.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
But to me it's always that thing that you would just really love to do as well.
So it's like a precursor to all of them.
What's the one in the corner?
This one,
It's like two balloons kind of kissing each other. It's got a sort of sadness to it. But Angela Bullock's work is often, she often uses light within it, and there's often an interactive element. There isn't in that one, there's not an interactive element, but she'll make kind of furniture and lights. Mm. Often they have a kind of functional aspect to the sculptures themselves. So these will kind of function as lights as well. But we kind of liked it with the chrysophilia, with the kissing figures here as well, because you've got the two kind of kissing in the moonlight there. And we kind of liked that, didn't it? It was like these two were kissing as well.
And we wanted to have some things that were more abstract as well within the exhibition, but still had a certain kind of resonance within it. Shall we move to the next? Okay. The kind of pace of the exhibition begins to kind of slow down as we move into to this room. And we originally conceived it as the after party, that kind of maybe that feeling of the morning after the night before.
Oh, yes.
And these two really intricate watercolours are by an artist who's based in London called Jane Wilbraham. And within the kind of branches of the trees are these kind of deflated balloons of hanging there, looking kind of quite sad and wilted after an event. And when we were installing the exhibition on Lichfield Street, outside one of the bars on there, they had a party. And as we installed the exhibition, as I walked into work each day thinking about the show, I would see the balloons begin to kind of wilter and kind of fade, and they're all still kind of caught. Yeah. And this this is actually a charcoal and graphite drawing by an artist called Andrew Tift. And Andrew Tift is an artist based in Warsaw, the artist that we talked about at the introduction to the exhibition. And it's actually a drawing of the lounge of Kitty Garman, who is the daughter of Kathleen Garman, who originally gifted the collection to the gallery. And on the windowsill here are all sorts of cards, greetings cards. This one here has got 50. So we imagine they were birthday cards or letters or correspondence from friends as well. And we just really like this kind of quieter kind of moment and this domestic scene and having that kind of companionship, I think, and that kind of history kind of being on your windowsill. And the Andrew also has created a number of portraits of Kitty Garman as well, which can be seen downstairs in the Garman Ryan collection as well. This kind of painting by John Kirby is, you know, for us, there was some that we've seen in the kind of other galleries that, you know, there are people kind of partying together, having a fun time, but there's also that other contrast of actually maybe being quite lonely. Mm. And, you know, those kind of... that kind of... Yeah, you know, sometimes a party can be kind of tinged with sadness or guilt, you know, that guilt maybe for having a good time, or you know, that kind of, you know, sometimes that pressure of wanting a really kind of good time as well. We kind of have had various discussions of what's kind of going on in this triptych. It's very unclear. Is this the same person? Is he dancing with himself? Or you know, is it Christmas, you know, rather than a birthday? And so for us, we really like that kind of air of mystery within this as well. And the painting next to it is a painting by an artist based in London called Emma Talbot. And for us, it was almost like a kind of a storyboard, or almost kind of peeling off the kind of front of a doll's house and looking into a series of rooms of this party, and this kind of recollection of kind of something, things that kind of happened the night before. So kind of blurred faces, you can't kind of work out any details, but perhaps kind of too much drinking, perhaps kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of whispering something to someone that you shouldn't, kind of stolen kiss or something like that. So we just really like the kind of those kind of memories and the recollection of it as well. And the photograph in the middle here works very well with this bin bag, which is actually a bronze bin bag by Gavin Turk from our collection. So I think this image by Anne Hardy, where all the cigarette ends and the balloons and the streamers are there, and all the kind of revelers have kind of left the scene and started to kind of clear up. So you almost imagine everything kind of cleared up from that scene being in this this bin bag here. And also, you know, I think that these four photographs, which are also part of our collection by Turner Prize winning artist Mark Leckie, they're actually, it's actually an album cover for the artist band. So a lot of the artists in the exhibition are kind of musicians, DJs as well, and they're very much part of a party scene. So the image on the kind of top right is the artist himself, Mark Leckie. These are his bandmates. They all kind of represent a different type of music, and it's very kind of theatrical in the sense that they're made up. They've obviously had a big night the night before. The level of kind of excess in their drinking and indulgence is very unclear. Whether they're dead or whether they've whether they're kind of still drunk, and you know, there is a kind of serious side, you know, to kind of partying to excess as well, which we wanted to kind of touch upon there too. And the actual this photograph here in the corner belongs to the gallery's director, Stephen Snoddy, and it was an invite by photographer Jürgen Teller to his 40th birthday party. So this is the photograph that he sent to everybody. Perhaps hinting about the kind of...
About what it might be like.
Yes.
And he did hold it in a beer keller. So it's kind of very beer keller kind of that's around it. With a red and white tablecloth and all that.
That's the director.
No, that's the director. His own photograph. He was invited to the party. He said it was very good.